Our text this morning is a very familiar passage for holiness people. Hebrews chapter 12. For the sake of saving time, I won't read the entire passage, at least at the beginning. But that familiar 14th verse, well, let me back up to verse 12 at least and just read. Wherefore, lift up the hands which hang down and the feeble knees, and make straight paths for your feet, lest that which is lame be turned out of the way, but rather let it be healed. Follow peace with all men, and holiness, without which no man shall see the Lord. I recognize that's the end, not the end of the sentence, but we'll stop there. Shall we pray? Our Father, we have been worshiping you this morning. We prayed that the Holy Spirit would breathe upon us, and we rejoice in our great Savior. Hallelujah! What a Savior! Praise God. Now we pray that you'll speak to us through your word, through your servant. In Jesus' name, amen. Dr. Ed Mann, who is technically a layman and did more preaching than most preachers, used to polish up a sermon. He'd polish it and polish it and polish it. And then he'd preach that sermon for the whole year on the tour out across the zone. And I've heard Ed Mann's sermons. I never call him Ed Mann. He's Prexy or Dr. Mann. I respect him. But we think of him, behind his back, we call him Ed. I have heard those sermons over and over again. In fact, I think with a little coaching, I could preach all of Ed Mann's sermons. He's got one that starts, "Once upon a time, a small boy was awakened by the sound of birds singing outside his window. He arose, dressed hastily, and made his way down the shores, down a well-beaten path to the shores of a beautiful blue lake, and was soon engaged in," and so on. But he had one sermon that started, and by the way, I never got tired of hearing those sermons. I'd sit on the platform, and I mean that. A well-prepared sermon is worth preaching over again. But he had one sermon that started out like this. If I can back up and think about it. "Behold, I set before you a way, and ways, and a way. And the high soul goes the high road, and the low soul goes the low. And in between, on the misty flats, the rest grope to and fro. But to each is opened a high road and a low, and each soul must determine the way his soul shall go. The high road and the low road." And the impact of the message was that we all have the opportunity to go the noble way. And we can. Of course, he also had a couple other impacts that he was trying to get, like you should pay your ENC budget and send your kids to ENC and pay your development budget, make your will out to ENC and put money in the expense offering and shake hands with the quartet boys on the way out. The book of Hebrews is about that high road. The high road is called the highway of holiness, the better way. And all Christians that start out with Jesus are on that high road that leads to holiness. We need to get it through our thinking that there aren't two salvations, the deluxe holiness route and the standard, no frills, just plain salvation route. God doesn't have one salvation for Calvinists and another salvation for Wesleyan Arminians and another salvation for Charismatics and still another salvation for Catholics, and then maybe one for everybody else. Oh, I know our doctrines are different. And we see things differently, but you know the way God looks at us, He saves us one way, through the blood of Jesus. And whether we believe in a crisis experience of holiness or not, and I do because I think I read it here and I see it, but whether we believe in holiness exactly like the Wesleyan Arminians do or not, we are called unto holiness. This is not a Wesleyan Arminian Bible that says, follow peace with all men and holiness without which no man shall see the Lord. And when we start out with Jesus, when He challenges us and we say, yes, I want to be a Christian, I want to follow You, I want to be a part of Your kingdom, we start out on the high road and pursue after holiness. Even if I didn't believe I could be sanctified holy, if I were going to mind the Word of God, I would be pursuing after holiness. I would love holiness. I would want to stay on the high road that leads me after Jesus. I'm not preaching doctrine here this morning. I'm just preaching what the Bible says. And either we're following after holiness this morning, either we're on the high road, or we've lost our way. There are not optional ways when it comes to serving Jesus. We serve Him with all that we have and all that we know and all that we are, or else we're groping to and fro on the misty flats like the people in Dr. Mann's poem. But how do Christians get off the high road? How do they lose that first love? How do they settle for something less than stretching after God's best instead of truly choosing God's best? And whether or not you're a Wesleyan Arminian this morning, and whether you even believe you can be sanctified holy, you can listen to what God's Word has to say. And unless you're stretching after all that God has for you, somewhere, somehow along the line, maybe you've gotten off the high road and gotten into some dead-end place. The book of Hebrews is a treatise on how to go the highway. But tucked into this book are a number of clear warnings about how it's possible to get off the highway of holiness, this highway that leads to holiness at least, this highway of following Jesus and following peace with all men and stretching after holiness. In the second chapter, if you'll look quickly, is the first warning. We can lose the high road through ignorance. Therefore, we ought to give the more earnest heed to the things which we have heard, lest at any time we should let them slip. For if the word spoken by angels was steadfast, and every transgression and disobedience received a just recompense of reward, how shall we escape if we neglect so great salvation? There are key words here in this warning, like earnest heed and drift away or let them slip. And the word neglect in verse 3, or ignore. And the Word of God would remind us that since in these last days God has spoken through His Son, it's not a light thing to ignore the message that comes to us. We're responsible not only for what we hear, but the chilling thing is we are responsible for what we might hear, what we may have heard, if we had been faithful. And the warning clearly here is we need to give the more earnest heed. Say, you don't understand, Pastor. I'm busy right now. I have things that are pressing in on me. I think I know something of pressure and something of schedule and busyness. There are some things we just don't dare. We don't dare let steal away from us. And this interesting phrase, lest at any time we should let them slip. The margin says they should run out as a leaking vessel. You don't notice as you're going along the street that your basket's got a hole in it, and all your stuff's kind of dribbling out on the sidewalk, and it feels lighter and lighter and easier to carry. Or another figure of speech is when the boat, I like the figures of speech that have boats in them, but the boat has slipped its mooring and it's right there at the dock, but it's not fastened anymore. And you don't notice particularly. John Stark and I went fishing. That's nothing new. We've gone fishing lots of times. We went fishing last year, and while we were putting the boat in the water, didn't notice that the mooring line wasn't even fastened on. And there it was, so near and yet so far. Right out there. Somebody had to take a bath to get it. And that's kind of humorous when it's just a fishing boat. But that's the picture of how some of us get when we neglect. Oh, how rude it is to ignore the clear directives of Almighty God. And we just are ignorant of what He wants us to do and what He demands of us. And we slip our moorings and there we are, so very close and yet moving away. And before we know it, the gap has widened. And something dramatic, something desperate is needed to bring back into that context. This warning is clear here. Ignorance can take us off the high road of stretching for holiness. I need to hurry. Look in the next chapter, chapter 3. We can fail of the high road through unbelief. The key verse here is verse 12. Take heed, brethren, lest there be in any of you an evil heart of unbelief in departing from the living God. The illustration here is the generation of the children of Israel that died in the wilderness. Having been delivered from Egypt, they stopped short of the promised land. These people in this chapter it speaks of, they were characterized by a spirit of ingratitude. There they were, free now to go on and mind God, and they were pining for the leeks and garlic of slavery. These people also had a spirit of rebellion. They hated the discipline of Sinai. They hated to do what Moses told them to do. And above all, they had a spirit of blindness to God's purpose. God intended not that they should just be set free from sin, but He said, I have a rest for you in the promised land of Canaan. God was thinking Canaan, they were thinking supper. God was saying, gird up your garments for a march that will cost you something, but when you get there, you'll have something. And they were saying, we don't want any privation. We don't want to mind discipline. Heed the grave warning of an evil heart of unbelief within that has to be effectively dealt with. In verse 14, the writer of Hebrews said, we are made partakers of Christ if we hold the beginning of our confidence steadfast to the end. A third warning is found beginning toward the end of chapter 5. We can lose the high road by a deliberate irresponsibility. Beginning about verse 11 or 12, the writer says, for when the time ye ought to be teachers, ye have need that one teach you again, which be the first principles of the oracles of God. And then beginning with chapter 6, he says, therefore leaving the principles of the doctrine of Christ, let us go on unto perfection. The tragedy of immaturity. It's no terrible thing to be immature when you're supposed to be immature. It's not reasonable for us to expect Jonathan Marcus Lanham to drive a school bus, at least this year. Maybe he will next year. I don't know. But it's certainly a tragedy to remain undeveloped and immature. And what's more, When it's spiritual immaturity, it becomes a mortal sin. God says here in Hebrews, warning, grow up or die. A spirit that refuses spiritual responsibility and yet demands satisfaction. A spirit that refuses discipline and yet wants all the fruits of labor. And yet God's fruit doesn't grow that way. You may be able to cut corners in some areas, but there's no shortcut to Christ-likeness. There's no shortcut to fruit in the Spirit. Where is it there? Verse 8. Verse 7, the earth which drinketh in the rain that cometh oft upon it and bringeth forth herbs meet for them, by whom it is dressed, receiveth blessing from God. But that which beareth thorns and briars is rejected and is nigh unto cursing, whose end is to be burned. And those that are unwilling to let God mature them and bring them to a place of accepting responsibility in the kingdom of God never will be fruitful unto Christ-likeness and holiness. And it frightens me as the old trees fall. We used to have a voice here. She was kind of frail, but she kept saying, let's press on, let's go for holiness, let's have revival. And we laid her body in the ground. They did out in Iowa not long ago. Who's going to take her place? Who's going to stand for revival and holiness? Who's going to be our spiritual leaders? Let somebody else do it. I'm busy working on a program. Nobody else is going to do it but you. And we'll lose the high road if we're not willing to take responsibility and let God make us mature. Finally, we can lose the road by divided loyalty, and that's where our text comes in. He said, let's lay aside every weight, 12:1. I need to go back there. Lay aside the sin that does so easily beset us. Fix your loyalty on Jesus. Look to Him. He's the author of your faith. And certainly He's the only one that can finish your faith. There's no higher call than to follow Jesus. And the fullness of the Holy Spirit is not a higher loyalty. Being sanctified isn't something better than following Jesus. But it's enabling to follow Jesus and to be like Him. And to every Christian, sooner or later, the call comes clearly for a total and complete dedication. We in the holiness tradition have made a specialty of it. I believe rightly so. Pressing people into the experience of entire sanctification. We believe it can happen, and that gives us a plus. I think a lot of people that don't believe it can happen in their obedience and following after holiness, they find it sometimes and don't know what to call it. And I know there are people that are filled with the Spirit in all of the denominations. But just because we're familiar with the possibility of being completely possessed of the Holy Spirit, it doesn't make it happen. But each of us individually have to heed this admonition and lay aside every weight and the sin that does so easily beset us. And I would challenge you this morning that I wouldn't be satisfied until I had the clear witness that we've done just that. That we've wrestled with the angel until the morning is broken. That He's called us by our name, Jacob. And I know I'm speaking a shorthand language this morning, but if you understand it, then you ought to be doing what I'm telling you. Until your name is changed from Jacob to Israel, and you know that you're a prince with God and have received the power of the fullness of the Holy Spirit. I don't make any apology for preaching a negative message this morning. Warning is what it's been. But the message has been here in this handbook on the highway. Let's leave you this morning not diluting any of God's warning. But with this sure direction, this formula for staying off the exits on the high road, and it's right here in this 12th chapter, verse 2, keep your eyes on Jesus. Never let him out of your sight. Once he's saved you and you've fallen in love with him, stay in touch with him. Fix your eyes on Jesus, the author and finisher of your faith. And then follow peace with all men. Stay in the fellowship. Verse 14, the fellowship of the forgiven and the forgiving. For if we keep in step with Jesus, we'll never leave the high road. Praise his name. Father, burn these warnings upon our hearts. Help me to stay on the highway. We who are so familiar with holiness words, oh God, help us to stay in the center of the highway of holiness. In Jesus' name, amen.